Good morning. In chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, Saul's army was at war with the Philistines. The Israelites appeared to be outmatched. Saul panicked and, against the commandment of God, offered a sacrifice that only a priest was allowed to offer. Saul was disobedient in that he went beyond what God wanted him to do. Saul failed to obey the word of the Lord again. In 1 Samuel 15, 1-9, he was commissioned by God to completely destroy an old enemy of God's people, the Amalekites. There was no doubt that God's command was clear concerning what he wanted Saul to do. Read verse 3 with me. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Saul started out doing as God commanded. In fact, verse 7 tells us Saul defeated the Amalekites, but that was as far as Saul went with his obedience. Rather than kill King Agag, Saul captured the king alive and brought him back home along with the best of livestock in his kingdom. Beginning with verse 13, we find Samuel's rebuke. You see, on his way home, Saul stops by Mount Carmel to build a monument to himself in honor of his victory. But Samuel meets him there and rebukes him, asking why. Why have you disobeyed God? Notice now Saul's response. The end of verse 21, Saul said, I thought it a good thing to bring home all these animals, and we'll have a celebration of our victory and sacrifice these animals to God for giving us the victory. Saul thought his idea was better than simply obeying God's command. Then we hear Samuel's reply in 6 words, to obey is better than sacrifice. Even though Saul confessed his sin, his disobedience was punished by God, taking the kingship away from him and giving it to David. The lesson for us is that God expects, even demands, complete obedience, and a failure to submit to his religious authority always brings problems. We begin our lesson by looking at some definitions. What is obedience? Webster says obedience is hearing and responding to the commands of one in authority. Obedience is being submissive to the command, control, or restraint of another. Obedience is to follow the guidance of another. Now, with these definitions in mind, let us see what we can learn about obedience from the life of King Saul. First, we note that obedience is always commanded and expected by God. The reason God gave for rejecting Saul as king is found in verse 11. I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. Simply put, disobedience is not carrying out God's commands, not following him. We cannot say we are following Jesus unless we are obedient to him and his commands, whatever they might be, and whether or not we agree with them. The New Testament is very clear on why we should be obedient to God's commands. First, we must be obedient in order to receive the promised reward. Hebrews 5 verse 9 tells us that Jesus is the source of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. So the reward for obeying Jesus is eternal salvation. Secondly, we must obey to avoid the penalty of disobedience. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9, Paul says that those who do not obey the gospel of Christ will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. This will happen when Jesus is revealed from heaven in a blazing fire with his mighty angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from his power. We must know that in every situation we face, whether it be a question of salvation, a particular religious practice, or how to conduct ourselves in everyday life, we are obligated to obey the word of the Lord, submit to his divine authority. Secondly, obedience must be complete. Some of the things Saul did were precisely what God commanded him to do. He was told to defeat the Amalekites, and he did. He was instructed to put the Amalekites to death, and he did. Well, most of them. He was commanded to destroy all the spoils, and he did. Well, except for the good stuff. We would say that Saul was obedient most of the time, and disobedient part of the time. Today, we would reason like this. He was obedient more times than he was not. Thus, he was justified. But that was not God's assessment, was it? God concluded that Saul had turned from following him and had not kept his commands. There is a warning here for us. We cannot intentionally pick and choose which of God's commands we want to follow, and then call it obedience. Obedience must be complete, or it is not obedience at all. Here it is. Partial obedience is disobedience. In verse 23, God compares partial obedience to what? Practicing witchcraft and worshiping idols. So we can conclude that true obedience is hearing and keeping all of God's commands. Number 3, obedience must be measured by God's standards. I think it's possible for a person to believe they are being obedient when they are not. This appears to have been Saul's problem. Compared to doing nothing, Saul had done pretty well. Compared to the Amalekites, he was God's man. However, we must measure our obedience according to God's standards, not our own. Solomon wrote, "There is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." You see, once we start deciding on our own things, like how to be saved, what does and does not constitute acceptable worship to God, how the church should be organized, and how we should live daily, we fail to be obedient. The only true and authoritative standard for obedience to God is His standard, the Word of God. Paul tells us that God's standard, Scripture, is complete and thoroughly useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be complete and well equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Next, we note that obedience is a personal responsibility. Saul tried to blame his sins on others. Verse 15, he says, "They brought these things from the Amalekites." In verses 20 and 21, he said, "I obeyed, but the people took some of the spoil." Saul's response is reminiscent of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When God confronted Adam with his sin, he blamed both God and Eve. "Lord, it's not my fault, but the woman you gave me caused me to do it." When God confronted Eve, she blamed the serpent. "Lord, it's not me. The serpent beguiled me. He tricked me." We're still doing this today. Sin is not a disease. It's not caused by our environment. It's not a result of genetics. Sin is a determined choice on our part to think and behave in a way that is different from God's standard. Samuel told Saul that he had to take personal responsibility for his own choices, and so do we. Obedience is also better than good intentions. Twice in this chapter, Saul claimed that the best of his sheep and oxen were spared to be brought back for a sacrifice to God. Samuel asked this question, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Samuel is telling us that obedience is always better. Obedience is always more pleasing to God than asking God for forgiveness. When people have their minds made up about a particular practice, they always have plenty of reasons to back up that practice. But disobedience, even disobedience supposedly done in the name of God, is still disobedience. Pure, simple obedience is better than the loftiest intentions. Note also that genuine obedience flows from a humble heart. Even though God's system under the law of Moses of dealing with human sin was through animal sacrifices, the heart condition behind the sacrifice was always of the utmost importance. One vivid example of this truth is found in Micah chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Micah asks this question, "Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams? No. How about in 10,000 rivers of oil? No. Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts? No. The fruit of my body, can good works atone for the sin of my soul?" The answer is no. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? We must know that a prideful heart always, always gets in the way of genuine obedience. Find someone who's unwilling to obey God completely, and you will find that somewhere in this disobedience is a prideful heart. No wonder that when Solomon listed the 7 sins that God hates, pride was at the top of the list. Truth is, we will never be completely obedient to God until we humble ourselves before Him. Then finally, obedience is an urgent matter. When Saul finally realized the seriousness of his sin, he confessed his disobedience. verse 24, contains his confession. I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Saul expressed a desire to receive forgiveness, to go worship God. But Samuel said it was too late. Saul already had the chance to be obedient, and he blew it more than once. Paul says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the right time to obey God. No, I don't know when God's patience will run out for us, but I know it did in the time of Noah. I know it did for those in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. I know it did for those in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, who rejected God to the point that he sent them a strong delusion, and it ran out here for King Saul. Peter tells us that God is patient with us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. But friends, don't wait too long. Like with Saul, there may come a time when it's too late. Samuel said, you have rejected the word of the Lord, and now the Lord has rejected you. As Samuel turned to go, Saul grabbed his robe and it tore. Samuel said, just as you tore my robe, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you. What a sad ending for this man whom God had chosen to be king over his people. What would life be like for Saul if he had been submissive to God's every command, every day? But friends, more to the point, what can our lives be like if we're submissive to God's every command, every day? What do you need to do to be completely obedient to God? Do you need to become a Christian by your faith in Christ, by repentance and baptism? Maybe we need to start doing some things we know that we should be doing that we've been leaving undone. If we can help you toward your obedience, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.